April 28th. Our reading in the Old Testament will be from the book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 21. Here's a commentary on what we'll be reading today in Scripture. For a king to be killed by a boy was humiliating because it would look as though he was no match for a boy. The two men that we'll read about here wanted to avoid that disgrace, as well as the slower and more painful death that an inexperienced swordsman might inflict. The people wanted to make Gideon their king, but Gideon stressed that the Lord was to rule over them. Well, despite his inconsistencies, Gideon never lost sight of the importance for both a nation and an individual of putting God first. Is God first in your life? If he is, he must affect every dimension of your life, not just what you do in church. Now, those who were very wealthy put ornaments on their camels as a way of displaying their riches. Women wore vast amounts of jewelry as well, often up to 15 pairs of earrings. Jewelry was also worn for good luck. After Gideon's rise to power, he seems to have become carried away with his accumulation of wealth. Eventually, it led the Israelites to idolatry. An ephod, we'll read about that here today, it was a linen garment worn by priests over their chests. It was considered holy. Gideon probably had good motives for making the ephod a visible remembrance commemorating the victory. Unfortunately, the people began to worship the ephod as an idol. Sadly, many decisions that stem from good motives produced negative results. Perhaps no one stops to ask, what might go wrong, or is there a possibility of negative consequences? In your plans and decisions, take time to anticipate how a good idea might lead to a potential problem. When you have that worked out, then go into the idea with bold confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit has approved and is leading you. All right, we'll read about this relationship between Gideon and a concubine, and it produced a son who tore apart Gideon's family and caused tragedy for the nation. And Gideon's story illustrates the fact that heroes in battle are not always heroes in daily life. Gideon led the nation but could not lead his own family. No matter who you are, moral laxness will cause problems. Just because you've won a single battle with temptation doesn't mean you'll automatically win the next one. We need to be constantly watchful against temptation. Now, sometimes Satan's strongest attacks come after a victory. We'll read about Baal-Berith. It means Baal, Lord of the Covenant. A worship of the idol may have combined elements of both the Israelites and Canaanite religions. Well, Gideon dies here, and with Gideon dead, Abimelech wanted to take his father's place. To set his plan in motion, he went to the city of Shechem, his mother's hometown, to drum up support. There he felt kinship with the residents. Well, these relatives were Canaanites and would be glad to unite against Israel. Shechem was an important city, a crossroads for trade routes and a natural link between the coastal plain and the Jordan Valley. Whoever controlled Shechem would dominate the countryside, and of course, Abimelech knew this. Well, Abimelech was declared ruler of Israel at Shechem, the site of other key Bible events. It was one of Abraham's first stops upon arriving in Canaan. When Jacob lived there, two of his sons killed all the men in Shechem because the prince's son raped their sister. Joseph's bones were buried in Shechem. Israel renewed its covenant with God there, and the kingdom of Israel would split apart at this same city. All right, let's begin our reading today now, here in the Old Testament. April 28th, the Old Testament. Judges chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 21. Then Gideon asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "The men you killed at Tabor, what were they like?" "Like you," they replied. "They all had the look of a king's son." "They were my brothers, the son of my own mother," Gideon exclaimed. "As surely as the Lord lives, I wouldn't kill you if you hadn't killed them." Turning to Jether, his oldest son, he said, "Kill them." But Jether did not draw his sword, for he was only a boy and was afraid. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said to Gideon, "Be a man, kill us yourself." So Gideon killed them both and took the royal ornaments from the necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, Be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you. However, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from the plunder you collected from your fallen enemies. The enemies, being Ishmaelites, all wore gold earrings. Gladly, they replied. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in a gold earring he had gathered from the plunder. The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds, not including the royal ornaments and pendants, the purple clothing worn by the kings of Midian, or the chains around the necks of their camels. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. That is the story of how the people of Israel defeated Midian, which never recovered. Throughout the rest of Gideon's lifetime, about 40 years, there was peace in the land. Then Gideon, son of Joash, returned home. He had 70 sons born to him, for he had many wives. He also had a concubine in Shechem, who gave birth to a son, whom he named Abimelech. Gideon died when he was very old, and he was buried in the grave of his father, Joash, at Ophrah, in the land of the clan of Abiezer. As soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal-berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. One day, Gideon's son, Abimelech, went to Shechem to visit his uncles, his mother's brothers. He said to them and to the rest of his mother's family, "Ask the leading citizens of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by all 70 of Gideon's sons or by one man. And remember that I am your own flesh and blood." So Abimelech's uncles gave his message to all the citizens of Shechem on his behalf. And after listening to this proposal, the people of Shechem decided in favor of Abimelech because he was their relative. They gave him 70 silver coins from the temple at Baal-berith, which he used to hire some reckless troublemakers who agreed to follow him. He went to his father's home at Ophrah, and there, on one stone, they killed all 70 of his half-brothers, the sons of Gideon. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped and hid. Then all the leading citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo called a meeting under the oak beside the pillar at Shechem and made Abimelech their king. When Jotham heard about this, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem! Listen to me, if you want God to listen to you! Once upon a time, the trees decided to elect a king. First they said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But the olive tree refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing the olive oil that blesses both God and people, just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the fig tree, 'You be our king.' But the fig tree also refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing my sweet fruit, just to wave back and forth over the trees?' Then they said to the grapevine, 'You be our king.' But the grapevine also refused, saying, 'Should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people, just to wave back and forth over trees?' Then all the trees finally turned to the thorn bush and said, 'Come, you be our king.' And the thorn bush replied to the trees, 'If you truly want to make me your king, come and take shelter in my shade. If not, let fire come out from me.'" Jotham continued, "Now make sure you have acted honorably and in good faith by making Abimelech your king, and that you have done right by Gideon and all of his descendants. Have you treated him with the honor he deserves for all he accomplished? For he fought for you and risked his life when he rescued you from the Midianites. But today you have revolted against my father and his descendants, killing his 70 sons on one stone. And you have chosen his slave woman's son, Abimelech, to be your king, just because he is your relative. If you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Gideon and his descendants today, then may you find joy in Abimelech, and may he find joy in you. But if you have not acted in good faith,
Then may fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leading citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and may fire come out from the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. Then Jotham escaped and lived in Beer because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative comes from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 44, through chapter 24, verse 12. We'll be reading here today a very dramatic part of the New Testament. Darkness covered the entire land for about 3 hours in the middle of the day. All nature seemed to mourn over the stark tragedy of the death of God's Son. This significant event symbolized Christ's work on the cross. The temple had three parts: the courts for all the people, the holy place where only priests could enter, and the most holy place, where the high priest alone could enter once a year to atone for the sins of the people. It was in the most holy place that the Ark of the Covenant and God's presence with it rested. The curtain that was torn was the one that closed off the most holy place from view. You see, at Christ's death, the barrier between God and humanity was split in two. Now all people can approach God directly through Christ. We'll read about this man, Joseph of Arimathea. He was a wealthy and honored member of the Jewish High Council. He was also a secret disciple of Jesus. The disciples, who had publicly followed Jesus, fled. But Joseph boldly took a stand that could have cost him dearly. He cared enough about Jesus to ask for his body so he could give it a proper burial. Now, the tomb was likely a man-made cave cut out of one of the many limestone hills in the area around Jerusalem. Now, such a tomb was large enough to walk into. After burial, a large stone would have been rolled across the entrance. And we'll also read here today that the Galilean women followed Joseph to the tomb so they knew exactly where to find Jesus' body when they returned after the Sabbath with their spices and perfumes. These women could not do great things for Jesus. They were not permitted to stand up before the Jewish High Council or the Roman governor and testify on his behalf, but they did what they could. They stayed at the cross when most of the disciples had fled, and they got ready to anoint their Lord's body. Because of their devotion, they were the first to know about the resurrection. You know, as believers, we may feel like we can't do much for Jesus, but we're called to take advantage of the opportunities given us, doing what we can do and not worrying about what we cannot do. The women brought spices to the tomb as we would bring flowers. It's a sign of love and respect. The women went home and kept the Sabbath as the law required, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, before gathering up their spices and perfumes and returning to the tomb. But when they got there, the two angels, they appeared. They were appearing as two men clothed in dazzling robes, the scripture tells us. They asked the women why they were looking in a tomb for someone who was alive. Often we run into people who are looking for God among the dead. They study the Bible as a mere historical document and go to church as if going to a memorial service. Hey, but Jesus is not among the dead. He is alive. He reigns in the hearts of Christians, and he is the head of the church. Do you look for Jesus among the living? Do you expect him to be active in the world and in the church? Well, look for signs of his power. They are all around you. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. April 28th, the New Testament. Luke chapter 23, verse 44, through chapter 24, verse 12. By this time it was noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish High Council. but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. As his body was taken away, the women of Galilee followed and saw the tomb where his body was placed. Then they went home and prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. But by the time they were finished, the Sabbath had begun. So they rested as required by the law. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. Cherubim are mighty angels that comprise one of several ranks of angels. Everyone should praise God's great and awesome name because his name points to his divine nature, his personages, and his reputation. But the name of God is often used so carelessly in conversation that we've actually lost sight of its holiness. How easy it is to treat God lightly in everyday life. If you claim him as your father, live worthy of the family name. Respect God's name and give him praise by both your words and your life. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 9. The Lord is king. Let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim. Let the whole earth quake. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, exalted above all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established fairness. You have acted with justice and righteousness throughout Israel. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow low before his feet, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also called on his name. They cried to the Lord for help, and he answered them. He spoke to Israel from the pillar of cloud, and they followed the laws and decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but you punished them when they went wrong. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain in Jerusalem, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Fools make fun of guilt, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can fully share its joy.